Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good Monday morning, and welcome in to Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan, a top of the morning to you, Danny. How was the weekend?
Filled with things that you just hate to see happen, Grant. You hate to see Philadelphia lose at home in the postseason. You just hate to see Tom Brady not able to get enough points on the board and that New England Patriots dynasty that's been the most dominant run in all of sports history, in my opinion, fall to the wayside and lose at home to the six-seeded Tennessee Titans. You just hate to see that sort of stuff. You hate to see the people that unnecessarily and incorrectly label Kirk Cousins, XYZPDQ. You hate to see them have to come up with excuses as to why that game-winning drive in overtime doesn't really count towards his resume. You just hate to see those sorts of things, GP. You just hate it.
Well, first things first, breaking news today. The Dallas Cowboys just now, moments ago, apparently struck an accord with Mike McCarthy to be their new head coach.
Yeah. Surprised they went this route, by the way.
I am, too. I thought McCarthy would get the Panthers job. McCarthy is a punching bag. Everyone's a punching bag anymore. Social media, everyone's the smartest guy in the room. Nobody likes Mike McCarthy. All he did was win a lot in Green Bay, but he was just sidecar to Aaron Rodgers, obviously. So if you're a coach with a great quarterback, you don't really get much credit. We'll see what Mike McCarthy is without Aaron Rodgers now in Dallas. I watched a lot of the coverage of his last year. He was, I thought, pretty smart and forethinking, pretty unique idea. He had a bunch of assistants that he wanted to be on his staff and analytics people get together in basically a bunker with him and watch games every single Sunday. He has most of his staff in place. They spent most of their year away from football together, which is interesting. But Dallas unequivocally just upgraded from Jason Garrett, who's not a very good head coach. How much did they upgrade? We'll find out. But McCarthy to the Cowboys is the breaking news of this morning. So you give credit to Jay Glazer who broke that report, and now you react to Dallas making hiring, as you said, that a lot of people didn't see coming.
I thought this was, you know, Lincoln Riley all over it, right? The sexiest unproven name. I mean, you go the route of like a Jimmy Johnson, somebody that had great success in college, morphs to the pros and has further success.
I would have put a little money on Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's
I thought they were going to try to make a move that stunned everybody. But what I heard yesterday from an agent of coaches who talked to them at one point is he said there's no way they'll hire anyone who has not been a head coach in the NFL before. It was almost a prerequisite for this job, apparently.
Yeah, they wanted some experience. I mean, they're looking at a window, I think, of, and I think they're the reason Jerry was so frustrated this year was they were talented enough to be a lot better than they were. I mean, right now, the window is open. When you have to pay the Piper after you already paid an outrageous amount to Zeke Elliott, now you got to pay Amari Cooper, who you gave up a first-round pick for. You got to pay Dak Prescott, among some others. You can't pay everybody. Right, so they're going to have to make some really tough decisions coming really, really soon. But they've got a year, maybe another or two of this window before they got to start making some tough decisions. So maybe you don't want a guy getting his feet wet and trying to grow with that group. Maybe you want a steady hand at this point to just sort of just take over the wheel that Jason Garrett kind of, you know, maybe let go into the side of the road. But I'm surprised by this, honestly.
I am too. It's not the splash hire by any means, or the hire that'll be viewed with the optimism, the excitement of that fan base that they probably would have wanted. But he comes with a pretty strong resume. This is a guy who won a Super Bowl championship with Green Bay. You look at his run with the Packers, and they won 11, 10, 15, and 11 games in a four-game stretch from 09 to 13. They won another 12, 10, and 10 in three straight years from 14 to 16. He's 125, 77, and 2. Again, it's really tough to try to determine how much of that was because Aaron Rodgers, who's been arguably the best quarterback in the NFL for the duration of his career now, along with Manning and Breeze and Brady, how much of that was Rodgers? How much of that is Mike McCarthy being a good head coach? We're going to get a chance to find out. I had to react to the breaking news, but before we get to the regularly scheduled program, I have to wish you a happy anniversary. Today is year six on the dot.
I didn't get you anything, honey.
You say that each year. One of these years you're going to remember. You're going to get me something.
Damn it. Today's the day? The 6th?
January 6th, 2014, the debut show of Grant and Danny. So 6 years now.
6 years.
Not the Junkies. We're not creeping up on 25.
No, we're catching up to them. You got to do the math. We're closer.
Right. But there are some, good friend Dan Steinberg, who didn't think this show would last very long.
And that's an actual thing, by the way.
That was a statement that he said to me after a few drinks one night.
What was adorable about that is it was actually meant as a compliment, but boy, it did not come out that way.
No. He's a nice man. He meant it very nice. He's like, yeah, I'm enjoying your show. I certainly didn't think it would last. But here we are 6 years later. Now, it could be gone any minute now.
Who knows?
That's the world we live in.
So we're not pounding our chest and gloating, simply pointing out that that was very funny. And again, I loved one of those things. This is true. I did some stand-up shows this weekend at the DC Comedy Loft.
How'd they go?
It was a lot of fun. And after the early show on Saturday, a guy was like, came up to me and he's like, I recognized your voice after a little while and realized it was you from the radio. And I got to be honest with you, I never thought too much of you. I didn't think you were very funny at all. You're actually okay. And like meant it as a compliment. I was like, that's not even a backhand compliment. That's like setting up to do a backhand and letting the ball go past you. Like, nothing about that was nice. Like, I thought you sucked and you were actually pleasantly okay.
Right.
That's not nice at all. Please don't say that.
Maybe skip that compliment.
Yeah, maybe just say thanks for a good show and leave.
I don't remember what it was. I got one of those via Twitter this weekend where it was one of those things where it's like, I've never understood or agreed with one thing you said, but I kind of get your point here. It's like, thanks, I guess.
So lifetime track record, everything you say makes me mad. I think the opposite, but this one's fine.
Before we get into the football, which dominated the weekend, and we go game by game through the playoffs and what was a sensational opening round of NFL playoff activity. By the way, for the third time in the history of the NFL playoffs, we had two games go to overtime in the same round.
Mm-hmm.
You had three quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, and Deshaun Watson, win their first playoff games this weekend. So kudos to those guys and their teams. And we'll get into all the games. But because this is just going to get left on the back burner and until the blitz, it's not going to be mentioned, I just want to shout this out really quick. The Caps win yesterday
is absurd.
While the Vikings and the Saints were playing an epic game, was one of the least likely victories by a sports team in this city in years and years and years. The Capitals had never won a game when they were down by two goals in the final minute with the goalie pulled until yesterday. In fact, I saw a stat last night on SportsCenter, Scotty Van Pelt's version. It was something along the lines of, like, since 1970, no NHL team has done what the Caps did yesterday. So for those that aren't familiar, they're down 4-2. I'm sitting there in the room, we're getting ready to do postgame at NBC Sports Washington, and I'm talking about what a terrible loss this was. They're playing the Sharks, who aren't very good. The Sharks played a day before.
Back to back, yeah.
The Caps were rested. They're at home at Capital One Arena for a day game. A quick turnaround for San Jose, cross country. It's effectively a 9 a.m. game for them, their time. I mean, there's 100 reasons why it would have been a horrendous loss. So they're down 4-2 with 45 seconds left. They score a goal from Jake Virana with the net empty and the goalie pulled to make it 4-3. And you say, okay, at least it'll look better tomorrow. And then with 14 seconds left, they score again to send it to overtime 4-4 before winning in overtime 5-4.
And by the way, there were multiple chances for San Jose in overtime.
Right.
But Holtby had to pull saves out of his tuchus a couple times, a breakaway and a 2-on-1.
It was just perfect. And I'm telling you, this Caps team, which leads the league in goals with Braden Holtby pulled down in games, they steal points this way pretty regularly now. You just can't turn off the TV. This is they have earned and deserve your 60 minutes of attention. There were people leaving yesterday, and I'm not going to sit here and bash you. Sunday afternoon, I'm sure you had to take your nap or whatever it is that people had to do. You had to go get your lunch. Not this team. You want to walk out on another team? Cool. Not this one.
Yeah, I mean, we should have learned our lesson from the Nationals, and this Capitals team is the same way. I am juggling back and forth between Viking Saints and the Caps game. So the empty net goal happens, and I go, oh, well, bad loss. This is now, what, like five or six of those on a six-month season, 82 games? Bummer. And I turn back to the football game, and I'm watching that one go back and forth. And then I happen to check my phone. TJ Oshie has scored with 14 seconds left. And I go, oh, okay, as you said, maybe that's going to look nicer tomorrow. No, that's to tie this SOB. Good heavens, what a win. Absurd.
It was fun to watch. This team's special, and it's a product that we need to occasionally remind ourselves we are lucky to be
fortunate
able to watch
to have it. Yep.
All the time. They do everything correctly. You got the Nats. You got the Caps. Wizards trying to figure some things out. I like the way they've been operating themselves recently. And the Redskins, breath of fresh air with Ron Rivera coming to town.
Absolutely.
A couple of notes on the Redskins we'll get into at 10:45 today. Pat Shurmur's being considered as their offensive coordinator. I've got some nuggets and a few items. I don't know if they're out there yet on the offensive coordinator search. We can get into that in about 30 minutes. Also on the show today, the Redskins will not be naming a general manager until after the draft. Ron Rivera is going to help handpick that GM. Did you see the Schefter report that Dan Snyder almost hired Rick Smith?
Yes.
The former Texans GM who would then have picked the coach. So he was between two minds here. Do I go with Rick Smith and let him hire the coach, or do I just make this coach-driven and bring in Rivera and we'll find the GM later? And he went with Rivera over Rick Smith, so we'll react to that coming up at 10:45 as well. But next, let's get into the NFC bracket that came your way on Sunday. The Vikings and the Seahawks advancing in the playoffs. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The two on the Saints. First and goal, Vikings from the two. Yes, Kirk, well done.
Vikings Radio Network, that was overtime, and that was a dime from Kirk Cousins. What does Michael Lombardi think about the Cousins and Vikings upset of the Saints? How about Seattle going into Philadelphia, knocking out Carson Wentz and beating the Eagles? And the AFC side of the bracket will also get his thoughts from a weekend that saw the Cowboys interview and then land Mike McCarthy as their head coach. Lombardi's going to join us at 11. Our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, where they look back at Wildcard Weekend, brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Looking forward to catching up with him. So let's start with the Vikings and the Saints and go in the order of yesterday's two games. First of all, the narrative that Kirk Cousins can't and won't win big games is flawed and has been false all along. This is what people can't quite grasp. They say, well, look at these games. Look at the game against the Packers. He loses a lot of those games. His teams lose a lot of those games. He plays well sometimes and they lose. He plays terribly sometimes and they lose. But he's also won some of those games. We just don't acknowledge those when he goes for 360 and four in a division championship game in a week 16 to make the playoffs. So if your point is he can't win the big game, you're wrong. He has before. If your point is that he hasn't, it's just statistically and factually incorrect. That having been said, he got paid a lot of money, and they paid him to have a strong performance yesterday and to try to get them deep into the playoffs. This is why he was brought in. There was a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He had to show up, particularly after laying an egg when they had a chance to try to catch Green Bay in the standings in Week 16, and he played as poorly as he did. And he made that huge throw to Thielen as part of a brilliant overtime drive, great slant to Stephon Diggs on a 3rd-and-1 to keep the chains moving, and then a beautiful fade to the corner to Kyle Rudolph. Got away with a push-off, but this year, that's just not getting called.
Yeah, everybody now loves to legislate that after the fact, by the way, and say, push-off, push-off. He was being grabbed and held. If you want to tell me it's a push-off, then you got to say illegal contact, too, or pass interference when the ball's in the air.
Both, right.
We can have offsetting penalties if that's what you really want. I didn't hear anybody say that. He pushed off. You can see the defender have his hand on the guy on Rudolph's arm. You can absolutely see contact. So I need everyone to pipe down that this was obviously offensive pass interference.
And it probably was in that he extended his arm to push off. But to your point, if you're going to tell me that, then what the cornerback was doing was also extremely illegal. He was grabbing the receiver the entire time in the end zone. He was backpedaling toward the end line. The pass from Cousins, as that entire drive was nearly flawless for a quarterback who can't come big in a big spot.
Cousins shotgun, Dalvin Cook to his left, 3rd-and-goal from the 4. Kirk takes the snap, looks right, fade left, end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown! Bonjour, San Francisco, and au revoir, New Orleans Saints!
Cousins outthrows Drew Brees, 241 a touchdown, no turnovers. Brees, 208 a touch and a pick. Here's your story of the game, though. Cousins, for about three quarters, was just kind of a guy on the field. Wasn't playing poorly, but Mike Zimmer, who's a dinosaur, was Bill Callahan-y. I mean, he was desperate to try to lose that 20-10 lead. The play calling, and people might kill Kevin Stefanski, who's the offensive coordinator. Understand that Kevin Stefanski is Kevin O'Connell. Danny, he's coaching with his hands tied behind his back and his legs tied together because he's got a head coach in Mike Zimmer, like Bill Callahan, who's breathing down his neck, telling him to run the ball every time he gets a chance. They were so conservative with their lead. They frankly deserved to lose the game.
Yeah.
They should have never gone to overtime, but there they were in overtime trying to make a play or two and finally open up their offense, and lo and behold, they make a couple of chunk plays and they score some points. But the Vikings almost lost that lead, that game, seven different ways from Sunday. You know, Brees had 14 passing yards on third down the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, the story of this game to me is the Vikings defense.
I agree.
And this was a group that you were lower on, I think, than I was. I mean, it was hard to argue that they were any good based on a lot of the results.
Yeah, they've had a really disappointing season.
I've always felt that they had more or had a chance to be. I didn't think they'd be this good, obviously. You're not going to shove it on Brees and company in the dome, but that's kind of what they did. Every time I see Danielle Hunter, I go, why isn't this a megastar? This, to me, is one of the best pass rushers, one of the most dominant defenders in the sport, and every time I don't see them, apparently he doesn't do anything, because otherwise he'd have 37 sacks a year. Otherwise he'd have 15 batted passes down a year. He is a monster. I don't know how you block that guy, but somebody does, apparently, when I don't see their games. When I watch him, that guy dominates.
He's great.
The secondary, I thought, played pretty darn well. You saw them run fit and do a good job on Kamara. That was a really good performance.
They were great on Kamara, who they held to 21 rushing yards and just 34 through the air. And even Michael Thomas was held in check.
Yeah.
With two DBs out, 7 for 70. You know, for my thoughts on Zimmer as a head coach and a conservative decision maker, and he would be my DC until I died. I mean, he is a great. He's got Ron Rivera written all over him. He is a defensive guru. Love him as a coordinator. And he drew up a whale of a plan yesterday. Dalvin Cook, 94 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, ran the ball almost 30 times. Really didn't have a prolific game at all, but he was a workhorse, and he scored a couple times for the Vikings. This was a team win for Minnesota, but because Cousins made a couple big plays in overtime, it became a Cousins storyline. After the game, he got the game ball and celebrated with his teammates in the locker room.
Number 8.
Yes, sir.
Team, right? Hey, you held them to 20 points, man.
Yes,
you
sir.
Gave us a chance at the end, but I got 3 words for you. You like that?
Yeah! Brings back you like that, and his teammates went ham
and
sandwich.
They liked it, and they did indeed.
How could you not? They are moving on. They get San Francisco, the Kyle Shanahan, Kirk Cousins matchup to get to an NFC championship.
Reunited.
Game. Meanwhile, in the NFC in game 2 yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks go to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles 17-9. Seattle was the better team in the regular season. They are, without Chris Carson as their running back over the last couple of weeks, just a watered-down, probably C version of themselves. I actually thought Philly would win this game. And having watched it yesterday, now that I saw what the result was without Carson Wentz, who threw 4 passes and was injured 5 minutes in, I would double down that if he would have been healthy, the Eagles would have won the game. He wasn't, though. So there's 2 big stories with Wentz here.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, the hit by Jadeveon Clowney. I thought it was bad. I mean, he speared him from behind with his helmet to Wentz's helmet, kind of driving him into the ground. I stopped short of saying it was premeditated or dirty. I don't think that's the case, the premeditated part. I think it was a dirty hit, whether he meant it to be or not.
Yeah.
It was really, really, really bad, man. Like in college, I hate the targeting rule. You get kicked out for that kind of thing. And the game changed right then. Josh McCown, who's 40 and was a high school football coach in August, suddenly is leading the Eagles, and he played well. It was an admirable performance.
Yeah, good for him, but, man, you could just see. It's just different. He got sacked 6 different times.
Did you think it was a dirty hit by Clowney?
This is so hard because I always try to give guys, as you know, the benefit of the doubt in play, where you're doing everything you can to stop the guy's progress. So I don't think there's anything – I think of dirty as premeditated. I think of dirty as I got a chance to do something else, and I chose the route that might injure somebody and knock them out. I don't know that Clowney did that. So, again, I have a higher threshold for what I think of as dirty. When I think dirty, I think Rob Gronkowski spearing a guy that's laid flat on his stomach and can't defend himself.
Agreed.
But it approaches that level for
me. I would say this. It's a bad hit. It is a bad hit, and it's a terrible look when the quarterback gets knocked out of the game 5 minutes in.
Head on head, and then his head bounces off the turf.
He was concussed. Man. Now, there's nothing he could do about being concussed. Yeah. But the other part of this is Carson Wentz can't stay on the field.
No.
And I'm not trying to knock him for being, quote, injury prone or anything, but it just is what it is. The last two playoff runs, it was Nick Foles. Yesterday, it was Josh McCown.
Mm-hmm.
Wentz had an amazing season. He will not get credit for what he accomplished throwing to a bunch of scrubs. He did not have weapons who were healthy in his passing game outside the numbers. Their running backs dropping like flies all season long. He was the one mainstay, and he willed them to the postseason. He had a really impressive year. But he's going to have to stay on the field moving forward if he's going to be worth the contract that they gave him. Russell Wilson, 325 and a touch yesterday, made just enough plays for Seattle, including a game clincher to his rookie wide receiver to put the game away in the fourth quarter.
They bunch three receivers to the right.
This great cover zero.
Here come the Eagles. And Wilson's going to go deep downfield, and you've got an open man in Metcalf to the 50-yard line. And that, in all likelihood, will write a finish to this one.
DK Metcalf, 7 grabs, 160 yards, a rookie record in your first playoff game, and 1 touchdown, including that 53-yard grab to put the game on ice. What a game for Metcalf. The Seahawks move on to take on the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field.
There was a play. It, you know, kind of just got lost in the shuffle throughout the game. But Wilson scrambled to his right, dodged 19 different defenders somehow, threw one back across his body. I want to say it was to Hollister for on a third down conversion, where you just go, maybe the only guy alive that can do that. Just an amazing kind of play. It was very Russell Wilson-esque, right? And we take those for granted now. It's just part of a drive, just what we do, because Seattle's offense is hamstrung kind of the same way that the Philadelphia's is. But that guy's a magician. He is great.
Next, let's go to the AFC and to the Saturday doubleheader. The Titans knocking off the Patriots. Is this the end of the New England dynasty? Could we have seen Tom Brady's final game with the Pats? You're listening to Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's incredible to be back out there with the guys. I mean, that's why you do it. That's why you take the risk. That's why you put in the work. That's why you do the rehab. That's why you do all of it. For those moments, to be out there with the guys, to be a part of the team, to try and help the team win, to try and create that spark. There were a lot of people that were questioning it or calling me crazy or telling me that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, but nobody knows what those feelings feel like, and nobody knows what it's like to be a part of a group of guys like we have in that locker room. So, quite frankly, I don't really care what anybody else says. I did it for those moments right out there, and it was a hell of a feeling.
That's J.J. Watt after returning from a serious pec injury to play in an impact, a win for the Texans over the Bills. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. We're looking back at the wild card weekend that was in the NFL playoffs. Round one is in the books. We just broke down the Vikings topping the Saints 26-20 in overtime, and the Seahawks improving to 11-2 in one-score games. 11 wins in one-score games, by the way, the most since the 2015 Denver Broncos,
That's
who went
crazy.
On to win the Super Bowl. Pivoting to the AFC, though, the Texans were dead in the water. They trailed 16-0. Could have easily been worse than that, by the way. And Deshaun Watson put his cape on. He channeled his 2017 national championship performance against Alabama. Remember when he came back from down 14 with Clemson? He did that act again. First of all, let's start with the play to kick off the second half, literally the kickoff. You had the very odd touchback situation where returner puts his hands out to give himself up, fields the football, tosses it to the official, and it's now just loosed on the ground. And Buffalo came flying down the field and recovered what was a loose ball for what was ruled a touchdown. And at that point, it was 20-0, and the game was over. Now, in the end, common sense prevailed. He was trying to give himself up. He tossed the ball to the official. Are we really going to give the Bills points here? But if that play was called differently, Buffalo is still dancing right now.
I didn't get a lot of clarity on what the rule is. It sounds like, well, common sense should prevail. It's like, what did Dak Prescott say at the coin toss? Whatever you want to call that controversy?
I would think the rule by the book is that you have to take a knee.
Well, because, you know, if you do that thing where you hold your arms out like a scarecrow.
You can't bring it out of the end zone.
Right. And if the ball bounces anywhere, it goes past you, you know, it's not a live ball anymore, right? Because you gave yourself up. This just happened to kind of bounce up to him.
We caught it on the fly.
Right. So, like, I'm saying, so if it ends up bouncing to him or he catches it or whatever, if you catch it, I thought you had to take a knee.
I did too.
So, but they keep going, well, common sense, common sense is wonderful. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah.
Isn't there a sentence that we can consult in the rule book? Where if you give yourself up, but you still catch it, what's the deal there? If you catch it, you have to take a knee.
What would you have ruled? What did you want? Because in real time, even though it ended up being very costly to the Bills, who I wanted to win. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how that changes my opinion later. But in real time, I said, wait a second here. This is a big game. Let's let these two teams decide it. Not some fluke dumb sequence.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they should use common sense. Pretty obvious that this guy was saying, I'm not coming out.
Yeah, I have no interest in
returning the ball
this.
To the official. So even though maybe by the book it wasn't correct, I thought that they did the right thing by saying first and 10 from the 25, let's keep playing football at 13-0.
And I might be a jerk, but I want whatever the rule is applied, right? Because like if a guy does something silly because he didn't know the rule, I don't want to go, well, he didn't mean to do that in general. Like I understand your point, and I'm not even arguing against it. I'm saying how far does that line get pushed then? Where he goes, well, he didn't mean to do that when he was just giving the ball to the ref when the play was live. Whatever the rule is, let's apply it. And I never got clarity on what the rule is from, I felt like anyway, from the announcers or from whoever your rules expert is. They kept going, well, let's let common sense prevail. I want the rule applied. So if this guy screwed up, and I don't know what the rule is, if the guy screwed up, bully for you. Now we know that it's a bad play by you and it's a game changer and you are up 20-0 or down 20-0 as the case may be. Whatever the rule is, it should have been applied to me, despite what we kind of think of as common sense.
This game was, it had a high enough blood alcohol level that it wasn't allowed to drive.
Especially Buffalo in the second half.
I mean, it was crazy. Deshaun Watson was not particularly great. I thought he was good, and you have to take into account that the Bills' defense is exceptional. He ended up 20 of 25 for 247. He did a lot of his best work late. And certainly in overtime, he made an immaculate play. How he didn't get sacked with defenders crunching into him from either side as he pinballed off of two human beings at 235 pounds at full speed, broke the pocket, and then got down the field for a huge gain, I'll never understand. That was your championship-level moment. That was your Heisman play, if you will. Mm-hmm. He should have just posed for the Heisman right then and there.
Their offense is just different without Will Fuller. You know,
it is.
Buffalo's defense is great and deserves credit for it, for being great, by the way, but they're just not dynamic without Fuller.
Bills are close, man. Devin Singletary is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Had 76 yards on six catches. The rookie running back from Florida Atlantic also rushed for 60 yards. Josh Allen made huge strides this year. A couple of boneheaded plays in this game. Tried to lateral backwards at one point and almost lost a fumble inexplicably. Overall in the game, he played pretty well. I mean, he threw for 265 without any picks. He caught a touchdown. He rushed for 42 yards off the edge on his first carry of the game. He went for 92. He's a really, really good football player who's just an okay passer right now. But if he can make one more jump forward as a passer, year one to year two, leaps and bounds, right? Mm-hmm. We all agree. If year two to year three takes another step forward, we're talking about a guy who could be a perennial powerhouse QB in this league.
Their best option right now on offense is him running the ball, right? And they kind of figure that out as maybe.
And I love how they design it with some of those keepers with pulling guards
stuff.
And tackles.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day,
sweeps.
He was barely over 50% as a passer. And, you know, with the fumbles and some of those boneheaded moments, as you kind of alluded to, where he's throwing into a fullback and double coverage down the field, you're kind of putting your hands to your head going, what are you doing, dude? But you're right. He's got another level to go up. He's not someone that I would ever kind of be in business with if I'm an NFL GM. But, man, there's potential for excitement there.
The play of the weekend was Deshaun Watson in overtime, escaping the sack to move the chains and get them into field goal range for the win.
Second and six here. Watson, pressure off the edge. Watson survives it and then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones, Deshaun Watson, magical, 34 yards.
Just a special play, Joe Tessitore on the call on ESPN. Brings us to the final game we can recap, and that was the night game on Saturday and the Titans surviving the Patriots, going to Foxborough and leaving a winner 20-13. Tom Brady looked like he looked all regular season, like an old 42-year-old quarterback. 209 passing yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. It was a pick six on the final play. Big question now is, did we see the final game for Tom Brady with the Pats? And we'll get into that coming up in just a bit. But specific to this game, so much talk about Ryan Tannehill for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Uh-huh.
He completed 8 passes for 72 yards.
He threw 15 times.
8 of 15 for 72. So table the Ryan Tannehill nonsense for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Had one big, big throw, I will say, late in the game when they needed to move the sticks. Derrick Henry.
Mm.
Period. End game. Full stop. 34, 182 and a touch. He beat the Patriots.
Yes, he did.
Now, this is a team game. I always say this isn't swimming, right? This is not just like you look over and it's you versus the person next to you. Derrick Henry beat the Patriots. That's it. Bill Belichick's entire existence has been basically, what do you do best? I'm taking that away. They knew Derrick Henry was coming, and they couldn't stop him.
He's a monster.
The Titans could have honestly, Danny, said, hey, we're running this to the C gap. We're going to fake right and come left. He's going to get there in about 6 seconds, real time. Give him all the information. They couldn't get this dude to the ground. He was unbelievable.
Titans defense and Derrick Henry. And that's kind of your story, right? I mean, you saw this sort of throughout here for the Patriots, and I think it was glaring as the nation tuned in to their postseason. They needed, and this wasn't true for Brady early on in his career. He could make anybody that good. He's, you know, obviously at 42 and change, lost his fastball in certain ways. It showed you how glaring a loss Rob Gronkowski was for them.
Yeah.
Everything went through him. Even if it wasn't a throw to him, you had to account for him. And that dynamic is gone, and they were just the most pedestrian, plodding offense in the sport.
Henry won the rushing title this year, and he is on his way to winning the playoff rushing title.
Man.
If he can play enough this postseason.
First and goal. Henry's done all the work to this point on his 26th birthday. And he's got a touchdown. Touchdown, Tennessee.
Jim Nantz, CBS, Tony Romo on the call this weekend. Do you think Tom Brady plays for the Patriots next year?
Yes.
I do, too. I'm not convinced he will be a free agent for the first time in his career, so it's a relevant question. I don't think this is all manufactured and fake and a ridiculous discussion. But I'm with you. I think he will be back. Much more on that as we continue today on Grant and Danny. Next. Step into the Redskins. A lot of news over the weekend, including they're not going to hire a GM And the former Giants head coach who was fired, Pat Shurmur, is someone they're discussing as an offensive coordinating candidate. For G&D, this is The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. You can follow us on Twitter.
At Funny Danny for me, at Grant H. Paulson. That'll get you Grant H. Paulson.
Mike McCarthy will be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So, within the division, the Redskins have hired Ron Rivera.
Second longest tenured coach in the division.
That's right. The Cowboys have Mike McCarthy, the third longest tenured coach in the division. Because the Giants, who seem to want Matt Rhule from Baylor, have not yet made their head coaching hire. Who would you rather have, Rivera or McCarthy?
Rivera.
Me too. I think that's a benefit to firing Gruden early and to not having the really weird process that the Cowboys did at the end of the season, where they sat around and then interviewed Jerry interviewed Jason Garrett, and then they interviewed him again, and then they didn't do anything for 3 days after that.
And then they had a sleepover, apparently, at Jerry Jones's house, or Mike McCarthy was there. Just bizarre behavior, man. Billionaires are just different. Just that dude is so insulated, doesn't understand how things look. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, so I'm a Warren Sharp disciple. He says things, and I understand about like 10% of it, but I just try to parrot what he says. I am not a McCarthy guy, basically because of him, because I think he's really smart and has good analysis. But for Rivera, I just see grown up. Like, that's what he is to me. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy isn't, but when I think of leadership, I think of a guy that's going to get people pulling the rope in the same direction. I think of that Aaron Rodgers-McCarthy feud kind of towards the end. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is just a pain in the buttocks to work with.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
But I still – something about that rubbed me the wrong way on McCarthy. And it's probably not fair. But just saying, if I'm choosing between the two, give me Rivera.
Michael Lombardi, who's a former NFL general manager, is going to join the show coming up in 10 minutes. At 11, we'll ask him about Wild Card Weekend and the McCarthy hiring by the Cowboys. Has Tom Brady played his final game with the Patriots? We could touch on that with him. And we'll get into that in the 12 o'clock hour today as well on G&D. But – couple of Redskins notes. So let's start with the fact that they will not be hiring a general manager till after the draft. I'm not really sure why this got so much run over the weekend, because we knew that already, I felt like. But now it's definitive, I suppose, because Adam Schefter said it.
Mm-hmm.
Before Schefter says it, it's just something that we've heard, that we know, I guess. Now it's like, oh, this is actually put it in paper, put it in Sharpie, and write it down and save it and put it in a place where you care about your files. But they are not going to be bringing in a GM until after the draft. This is bad news if you're in the building right now. If you're a guy like, say, Eric Schaefer, I don't know that it's bad news for Kyle Smith, who's got a year left on his deal as a scouting director, but pretty much any of the holdovers, you're going to be evaluated by Ron Rivera, I guess, not by a GM in the meantime. But then after the draft, when they bring someone in, you'd think that person would want to bring as many of their own people in as possible.
I just don't get this process. I understand you don't want to just hire a guy to hire a guy, right? Just to fill the vacancy and say, oh, we've accomplished something. I get you want a good candidate. You want someone that's going to work well with Rivera. You want someone. But to me, I want that person. I've wanted the GM for 21 years. They've hired one, albeit with some flaws, in Scott McLuhan, and randomly they had their two best seasons under Dan Snyder's ownership. I'm sure that's a coincidence. To me, I want this guy in seat, not to overrule the scouts, not to overrule Kyle Smith and company, but to evaluate them. I want him to see, this is how we work. This is how the reports get turned in. Do I agree with this guy? Do I not agree with this guy? I want the general manager so badly, and I don't get why people don't feel the same way as I do. I'm not saying he comes in and then in 2.5-3 months blows out all the scouts and brings in his own guys, and you have to start this process that's year-long that culminates in the draft and free agency all over again. I want him evaluating both players, this organization, what they need, what's the shopping list. I want him to be in as part of the ingredients that sort of make this souffle. As we then go forward, he's the guy that's then given power to establish the direction. I want that so badly, and I don't get why people don't feel the same way. It doesn't mean I'm not thrilled with Ron Rivera. It doesn't mean I'm not happy that he's going to have a major voice in this organization. But it's just strange to me that this is the declared process where you're basically saying all you guys in this wing of the building are dead men walking potentially.
Yeah, I'm with you in that I would much prefer the process that most of the good teams execute. Now, there are examples of head coaches that were hired before general managers,
sure,
who then were involved in the hiring of the GM. Because what matters more than anything else, I believe, is the relationship between those two.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be harmonious. It needs to be one where those two guys get along and view football the same way. Doesn't mean they have to agree on everything. In fact, I'm perfectly fine if they never agree. But I want them to view football through a comparable prism and be able to work together and butt heads and still go out and play some golf and have a drink later that day. When the other organizations hired their coach and then their GM, typically back-to-back, it's been well before the draft. It's been after the coach gets hired in January. Guys like Brandon Bean and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. So it's been a successful model in some places.
Yeah, in a vacuum where you go, well, the general manager was hired after the guy. They point to Seattle 1 week in January. Pete Carroll's hired, Schneider was hired.
Most of them are generally within a week, and that's my point is you've got a coach involved in the process saying it's not a coincidence. McDermott brings in Bean, who was in Carolina with him.
Right.
Lynch and Shanahan have long had a good relationship. So I get that it doesn't have to be GM, then coach. I'd prefer it to be. It doesn't have to be. But the waiting till after the draft thing's interesting. Here is my only guess as to why they're doing this. I have to imagine they know who they're bringing in and that guy's not available yet. That's my only guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, my speculation would be it's like Marty Herney of the Panthers, who Ron Rivera's worked with.
Or and his number two or something.
Right.
Right.
Or his number two, who's the new Brandon Bean, mm-hmm, whoever that is.
Right.
Maybe it's even someone from another organization, just throwing a name out there, Dan Morgan, who played for the Panthers years ago, who's now in the Bills front office as a player personnel guy. And maybe that guy's not out of his contract yet or isn't going to be available until after the draft, which is when a lot of the front office contracts go. If right after the draft they bring someone in and we find out, yeah, this was something that was in the works for a while, will you feel as bad? I don't think you should.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't feel as bad.
And my guess is, I can't tell you with conviction, I don't know this, but I would assume that that's what's going on. I don't think it's because they just don't want to hire a GM for a while. I think they have a guy who they're going to bring in who can't get out of his deal yet, is my speculation.
It would certainly make sense and it's plausible, right? I'd even say it's likely. And I guess what I'm saying is, If that's the case, obviously they can't say anything because that's tampering. We're going to hire a guy that's working for another team right now. I obviously, you can't satisfy my insatiable need for a general manager by letting me know that that's the case. I get that. But so if that happens, that would temper any disappointment or me being irritated by it. But if that's not the case, if it's just, no, we're good with this process kind of as is, we'll have all our guys that are here walking on eggshells trying to impress Ron Rivera, and then we'll hire the general manager to start doing business after that, that would be confusing to me. I guess my frustration is when I'm saying, hey, this is what the Jets did, right? This was bad. Other teams that have hired coaches before general managers, you look at the Chiefs, a guy John Dorsey leaves to go to Cleveland. So you have to, the coach is already in place, so you hire a general manager after the fact. Seattle, it was a week later. This after the draft thing is usually the realm of teams that aren't very good and don't have good processes, and they turn things over to Adam Gase. I don't want that. I'm hoping that what you're saying is the plan, and if it is, I'll back off. But until then, I'm not really giving a team that hasn't done anything right in two decades the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'm not going to get upset with people that don't give the Redskins the benefit of the doubt. You earn that. That's not just given to you, and they haven't. I'm just assuming,
mm-hmm,
because it's the only thing that would make any sense
right
to me. Michael Lombardi, top of the hour in 5 minutes on Grant and Danny. Looking forward to catching up with him to talk Wild Card Weekend and some of the burning questions around the NFL. Also, we didn't get into the offensive coordinator search, if you can call it that, even though O'Connell's under contract as of this moment. Who will be the OC, and is it pertinent to keep O'Connell for Haskins' development? We continue on Grant and Dan here on the bench. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.